Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Good morning, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and again, it's a pleasure to be with you. Glad you're tuning in to our new show here on 107.1. Hope you will continue to do that. Well, it's election season. Early voting started in Craven County on the 20th, and this past Wednesday, we went downtown to the Board of Elections, where we talked with the director there, Miss Melanie Ray, and asked how things were going, and got an update on some of the new laws. So let's join the conversation we had with Miss Melanie Ray, director of elections down in Craven County.
Okay, we're down at the Craven County Board of Elections with Melanie Ray. And Melanie, you want to tell us what your title is?
Yes, I'm Director of Elections for Craven County Board of Elections.
And we are glad to have you. I've worked with you a little bit in the past few years, and I just want to tell you what a great job you and your staff do, and we appreciate all the time and effort that you put into it, because I know at times you want to pull your hair out, and it can be challenging, but I've also heard you talk about how much you enjoy your job.
Yes, I enjoy it fully. Enjoy my job very much, and the stress that comes with it, to me, it's not that stress where I want to leave. It's kind of that challenging stress that I really like. So yes, I enjoy my job tremendously.
Well, that's important to have that attitude in the job you're in. Well, this election cycle is a little bit different than ones you've probably been through before. I know that there's a lot of controversy. A lot of reports going around, a lot of things going on, a lot of concern over voter fraud. And there was a report from WTVD out of Raleigh. I'll briefly read some of the facts that they put out there. The State Board of Elections revealed on Wednesday that more than 35,000 people may have double voted by casting ballots in North Carolina and another state during the 2012 election. The Board of Elections was careful to say they don't have proof of fraud, but they have good reason to look closer. They verified there was voter fraud, said Susan Myrick with the conservative think tank of NC Civitas. And they've been warning about voter fraud for years. They've identified tens of thousands of voters that potentially voted in North Carolina and another state. Now, I'm concerned at the polls. Now that they've struck down the voter ID law, we have no voter ID, and of course in a situation where they're voting in multiple states, that probably wouldn't help here anyway. But have you had any reports so far during early voting of suspected voter fraud, or do you see it as a big problem now or a potential problem at all?
I don't believe there is a potential problem in North Carolina. Fraud, I can't say, does not go on. If someone's intent on committing fraud, they obviously would probably be able to do it. The article that you mentioned, at the time in 2012, North Carolina was not part of the cross-check with several states, but I know that they are cross-checked in a membership for at least 28 states now. So that is what that article is referring to, and they're starting with the 2012 year. So that article is correct. I do believe they have found some duplications and are researching those.
Okay, now the cross-check, can you explain that a little bit? How does that work? Is it instantaneous? Is it online, or is that something that comes after the election?
It is something that the state board bought into. You have to pay in to do it, and then after elections are over, they do cross-check their records against the rolls of the other states that are involved in that cross-check group. So it is afterwards, obviously. It's not instantaneous. But in North Carolina, our systems during one stop, but not election day, are directly linked into the state board. So if someone was voting here and then left and went and voted into another county, it's going to show up. State board would see that, or we definitely would see it before we canvass. There are cases. We had a case in March where a girl voted twice and we turned it in to the state board. And of course, the state board researches it and then decides whether to turn it over to the DAs of the counties, and then the DAs would decide to prosecute. But even if it's convicted felon or a deceased voter or something like that, if it comes after the election canvass or before election canvass and we catch it, we do turn in all cases that we suspect. Most of those do not turn out being voter fraud. They just turn out maybe, you know, just some glitch, or they were not a felon at the time they voted, but then their case got settled and then we removed them. But North Carolina does an excellent job in checking them out, and we look every day for any conflicts that have voted, you know, up until this time, which is early voting. Now we've been going for 5 days or so. So we check voter conflicts every day if someone has came back. But like I said, I will not say that voter fraud does not go on. It's just like a crime. If someone is intent on committing it, then yes, then someone could possibly do it. But I'm very, very thankful to live in North Carolina and be in elections in North Carolina for the registration process. It validates IDs with birth dates, names, and Social Security numbers. And those people are on our rolls, and we do the best that we can with the policies and procedures that we have.
Melanie, I know that I ran across a person back about a week ago who was very concerned, lived up in the Vanceboro area, and found that there was someone else registered at their address. Well, this person bought the house in 2011, and that the other person was a child of the original owner. And I helped him research it and found out that that other person was originally registered in 2001 and had not voted at all. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that we can do to help remove people from our address if we find someone else is registered at our address?
What had happened, we probably have sent a card, because we did send everyone cards in 2014 right after I first got here. What should have happened is they should have sent that card back to us. Any person who gets a card that doesn't belong to them at an address needs to send it back to us, not try to give it to the individual if they know them. Just send it back to us, because that will flag them inactive here. It is very difficult to remove a person. Only the voter can remove themselves, or if they are deceased, a near relative can remove them, or another DHS agency. In Craven County, if they are deceased in Craven County, we get a copy of the death certificate automatically. Also, if the voter does not register somewhere else, then we have no way of knowing. But you can do challenges of a residence address where you bring proof that the mail has came back or that you live there. And those can be done at any time. We do ask, like, since it's a busy election now, is do that after the election. But you can do that. You can challenge a residence. Carl Mishka actually did that with the person that he bought his house from. So he showed where mail had been returned and he doesn't live there. And then it would go to a hearing with our board. It's a judicial process. And if evidence is presented, then yes, we can remove a voter.
First, I'd like to say something on a positive note. I've worked outside the polls ever since they've opened for the people that adhere to CCTA's mission statement and our concept of good government. I've talked to a lot of people, Democrats and Republicans both, and I just wanted to state how friendly and how nice, how congenial everyone has been. Whether, no matter what party they're from, everybody's been very nice to each other and really polite, and there have been very, very few instances of anybody being rude to somebody else. And I just think that's a huge accomplishment for the citizens, and I'd like to say something about that. But the question I wanted to ask is that I had heard, and it's been reported, that the Board of Elections in North Carolina at the state level, some administrator there had sent out instructions that the applications for registration that were being processed by the DMV, they were incomplete and hadn't been signed, that orders had come down from there to all the local boards of elections in the counties to go ahead and process all of those requests for registration, even if they weren't complete and even if they weren't signed. And I'd like for Melody to comment on that, if she would.
Yes, the DMV, we have list maintenance processes that we go through every year after federal elections, which we'll be doing this in January. They consider DMV a list maintenance because they can actually enter the information into the system and then they drop. In the past, sometimes we did not get the images. We just got the information. So we could not verify if what they entered was correct. So in the past, we did not process them unless we had an image with a signature. Now, for the last couple of months, we have been told to process all DMV applications that have came in through the DMV. If it is a duplicate, all the information is the same of a currently registered voter. Or if it's an address change of a currently registered voter. But if it is a new registration, someone that's not on our rolls, or if someone has wanted to change their party, we cannot process those. We do send them the letter that says you have made a change and you have to send this back with the signature. So those types we do not process through, but we do process duplicate names, addresses of currently registered voters, and then current registered voters who are just changing an address only. We can do those without the image and the signature. It does not mean that we actually get it from DMV if you went to DMV. Sometimes some are missed or some are not transmitted, but those applications we were told to push through.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the changes in the election laws for this cycle. You know, during the primaries, we were allowed to have voter ID. I worked at the polls, and that worked out excellent. Being able to scan the back of the license and the information pops up instantly, and it just sped things up so much. But we don't have voter ID during this general election. What else has changed? Early voting, the number of days, things like that?
Yes, remember we did have a 10-day early voting period, and we had a plan set for that. And then in July, when the voter ID was struck down, we had to go back to the 17-day. We had to hurriedly do that and set a plan in place. We did opt to just only have our Board of Elections office open, which was one of the options from the State Board of Elections, and that is what our board chose. We did have a non-unanimous plan due to Sunday voting, but we went before the State Board and argued it, and they added one Sunday. So we are currently on that plan, and that is why the other sites were not open for the first 7 days. Other law changes are curbside area. Now all curbside areas are protected by no electioneering. So in the past, if they were not in our 50-foot originally drawn buffer area, they were protected, but if they were outside, they were not. But now all curbside areas are protected by the buffer zones. What does that mean? We could go draw a 50-foot circle around every car, but basically what we're doing is having a sign with the law and a sign that just says no electioneering in the curbside area, and we have been advising all of our candidates and their supporters here at early voting so they'll know election day as well. So that is new. And that is new that a lot of people are not aware of until we tell them. Other changes, of course, the no ID. It's still required for first-time voters, though, who did not use those numbers when they registered. The pre-registration for 16 and 17-year-olds is back on. Let's see, the early voting was now back extended to the 17 days. So those are things that really affected us, and they affected us real quickly. And I know there was some disgruntled voters in all areas of North Carolina as far as sites and what days we were open, but there is a process that we had to go through, and this was the best one that we could do in the amount of time that we were allowed.
How about same-day registration?
Oh, yes, same-day registration came back. That was out, but that is back in. So if you did not register by the 14th of October, but us being one of the hurricane counties, the deadline was extended to the 19th. If you miss that deadline, you can still register at any of our seven satellite one-stop sites. We have a site here at the Board of Elections office, and then starting tomorrow, the other six sites will open. You can register and vote the same day, but you will have to bring ID. If you have a current driver's license with your valid current address on it, that will work. If your driver's license does not have your current residential address, then you will need to bring a HAVA documentation, which is a utility bill, government document, a bank statement, or something proving your residency. So that is issued. That is now a rule back in place, same-day registration.
I would like to mention, I think I left it out to begin with, this is Craven County that we're Melanie is in and we're talking about.
I just wanted to mention that I've worked in the polls outside, as I said, trying to influence voters to support the candidates that I think to support our mission statement. I've worked some 10-hour days, several of them, and then we haven't had a complete day off since the early voting since October the 20th, and I wondered how Melanie felt about that on her and her staff. I think everybody's working entirely too hard.
Well, even though the poll closes at 6, my staff, and including myself, are here 1, 2, sometimes 3 hours longer. We do you know, what we're supposed to do. Is it hard on us? Well, of course it is. We will have a break on the one Sunday. We won't be open, which is good. But we're here to serve Craven County voters, and early voting is there, and we have it set. And the additions of the three extra sites this time, then 2012, and the addition of the new one at West New Bern Rec, which starts tomorrow, we're hoping people will go to some of these other sites to kind of relieve some of the traffic here at the Board of Elections office. But it's word of mouth. They've got to get out. We've advertised it in the paper and all other places that we can. But yes, elections does not happen one day a year. We work more than one day a year, and just because the polls close at the specified times, my staff, which is just me and two full-time, I do have three part-times, but then they can't earn over 40 hours a work week. So us three are putting in long hours. But like I said, I love my job, and that's okay with me. So,
well, talking about early voting, NBC put out a report and said, analysis, North Carolina counties that cut early voting sites see lower turnout. Voting rates in pivotal North Carolina are down so far from 2012 in nearly all the counties that cut early voting locations. The numbers follow reports of long lines at polling sites in several places across the state. Some Charlotte voters said they waited 3 hours to cast a ballot on Thursday. The voting drop-off and long wait times may bear out recent concerns that the controversial Republican-backed cuts to early voting in combination with other voting changes and population growth could restrict access to ballot in some areas. Is that a problem here in Craven County?
We're voting 100 people an hour. So if you're the 100th person in line, you are going to wait an hour.
Were the early voting sites cut here in Craven County?
Yes and no. Remember, we first had to be open 10 days, so we added three additional sites. So we were all going to be open those 10 days. But then when they added the extra, we did not open the other sites due to the site. Some of the sites couldn't house us that first week because they already had plans. So we just added the week to here. If you look back at 12, it is hard to compare because there were four sites open the whole 16-day period. So it's kind of hard to compare because there were other sites open the first week. But as far as our location here, we've had a huge increase than who voted at this location, of course, the first week. The comparisons will come better starting tomorrow on the turnout. And then overall, we're going to have to look at an overall picture because it's more apples to orange than apples to apples to compare it. Because in 12, we had to be open the 17-day period.
In the various voting sites, what are you required by law to staff them with? What judges and I know we're allowed observers from the various political parties, but you have a staff. Generally, a voting site has how many staff?
Okay, Election Day is appointed by our board. The parties recommend chief judges, one chief judge for each precinct, and two judges. That's one Republican judge and one Democrat judge. Our chief judges in this county are Republican because our board goes customarily with what the governor is. So that's customarily in several counties, but it's not always true in all counties. By law, we have to have one chief judge and two judges. So by law, three people. But we try to staff. Like, I have started every precinct this time out with 9 to 11 workers on Election Day. But as happens, people start bowing out as it gets closer to Election Day. And I know we get people to come in or call, well, we'll help. But by law, you have to be trained. So as the time frame squeezes, the opportunities to train someone is less and less and less. So Election Day, sometimes we have five. We try to have at least five there, especially in our smaller ones. Our bigger ones, we start big, but sometimes if people don't show up, it does take what happens. Now, one-stop early voting are considered employees of the county, so I hire those. But they are normally precinct official day workers because we were used to working with those, but we had a lot of new workers, precinct workers, and one-stop workers. As far as the county workers for one-stop, there is no party regulations. There's not recommendations from the party. There's not any of that. They're just considered part-time workers. And we treat them the same way. They fill out an application, and then we go through and put people where we need them. Yes.
How about sheer numbers of people? How many people have voted so far in Craven County?
I looked that up earlier around 4:30, and it was over 5,300. So I can look that up real quick.
See how it compares.
And see where we are right now.
And while Melanie's doing that, I believe you said you're processing 100 per hour now?
Or more.
And currently that's out of the one site.
Out of one site, yes. Yeah, my feeling is, I know people get upset with the 1 hour to 1.5 hours, but you have to understand, we have to deal with the facilities that we have. The one-stop room that we're using now here at the Board of Elections office used to be the offices. It is a lot larger than the rooms they used to use in 2012 and earlier, or earlier than 2014, actually. They were small rooms. So you can only get so many booths and so many people in a certain area. So we have at least 15 booths, but the ballot is very long. So where the wait time is in people voting their ballot. And we don't want to rush them because people are making important decisions on who they're voting for.
Well, I think too many people are whining unnecessarily like that. I mean, 200 years ago, they'd have had to get on their horse and travel for days to get to the county seat to vote. And now they're upset over an hour wait.
I just wanted to say, I voted Monday, and I waited in line for an hour. But I was really glad to do, it was wonderful to see the turnout. And it was, I mean, everyone was civil, everyone was friendly. I'm sure there were people voting for different people, it didn't come up. But it was not an unpleasant wait.
Well, it usually is, from my experience, at least here in Craven County. You haven't had any ruckuses yet, have you?
Not really. I mean, you always have your common complaints. We do have, you know, some people don't want to wait an hour. But the beauty of early voting is you get to choose your day. If 100 people show up one time, like I said, that 100th person's going to wait an hour. So we can't predict the crowds that come in the masses. Like today, it's been very light at spurts. Yesterday at 10:15, there was no one in line, but at 10:30, the line was out the door. So you can't predict the times, but all I can say is we're processing 100 an hour or more. And you asked currently how many have voted. As of 5:58 today, and we close at 6 today, 6,580 people have voted early. So that's a big chunk.
It is.
Do you make any sort of report back to the political parties as to how many of their registered voters have come through and voted? I thought that was a report.
Actually, it's posted on our webpage every night or every morning. Like yesterday, we had a board meeting, so we didn't get out of here till 10 with our absentee meeting. So tonight when I leave, I will post that. The statistics are there by party and race every night. We post that. It's on our webpage, yes.
And that address?
CravenCountyNC.gov, and go to the elections department. And if you want to look up absentee statistics, you would look up absentee voting, which is on the left-hand corner, and then it'll be down at the bottom of the page.
Well, since you mentioned your web page, you shared a little information with us earlier about your Facebook page or not. Would you like to share that?
Yeah, there's been some reports of a voter brought in a Facebook page. We do not have a Facebook page. The Craven County Board of Elections here in Craven County currently does not have a Facebook page, but there is one out there that is it's an unofficial page. I don't know who is doing it. There are current pictures of people voting now, even of our office, but no one in my office has been authorized to set up a Facebook page. I don't have a Facebook page set up under the Craven County Board of Elections, as neither does our IT department. So it is not a real Craven County Board of Elections page. We're doing everything possible now to shut it down because it is fraudulent. It is not our office doing it. And some political things have been on there, and we are nonpartisan. We don't provide information about the candidates other than who's on the ballot. But as far as that, we refer them to the parties for anything like that. So if anyone has been confused by that, it is not coming from our office.
And on a totally different subject, I know that ramping up to the election process, of course, we have the roadside signs growing up everywhere. And I know that there's regulations as to where signs can be and then when they need to be removed. Can you fill us in on some of that?
Yes. DOT rules, it's 30 days before one stop started. You could put the signs in the right-of-ways. But DOT is 7 days removed after the election. Or then they can mow them over or whatever. Each municipality, though, New Bern, River Bend, Havelock, those are some of the municipalities, they have ordinances. And voters, we have a copy on our webpage, but if you want to know sign ordinances, you need to look at the municipalities. As far as my office is, we don't police the signs, but like if City of New Bern gets a complaint or needs to remove signs, they sometimes will let us know. And as a courtesy, I will send a note to the candidates to say, hey, City of New Bern sent us this notice. I'm passing it along. But we do not police signs. If anyone has complaints about signs, they need to first call the candidate. They can't get the candidate, call the parties, and then call the municipalities. Or if supporters or candidates have signs damaged or stolen, we advise file a police report because that is money of a candidate's. But my office does not police that. The State Board does not police that. The particular municipalities have their own ordinances that they do or do not enforce. So.
Well, Melanie, what do you see for you and your staff as your biggest challenge during this election?
Our biggest challenge is probably staying awake, especially late at night, or not getting enough sleep. But really, this is what we come to work for. And I hear, well, this is just a presidential. Every election to me in my office and to every North Carolina election official is important. We have the same processes, whether it's a presidential election or not. It's the same processes. We don't do anything different. It's just the different candidates on the ballots in the different races. So our processes are the same. As far as time-wise, it's still all about the same time. Cost, it's all about the same cost, a general election versus a municipality election. The municipalities are a little cheaper because we don't open all the precincts. But our processes are the same. So it's not that we just do this election every 4 years. We have elections every year in this county, and we do the same processes. We're used to it. We do get tired like everyone else, and we may be dragging, but those that know me and know my staff know that I thoroughly enjoy this job and thoroughly enjoy talking about elections and putting accurate information out there. So if anyone ever has questions, I've given my business card out. It has my numbers on it. Please call. We'll correct you. Or if you're in a discussion, call us. If we answer the phone, we'll answer the question. If we leave a message, we'll get back with you. But I am a very strong advocate of voter responsibility. People need to be aware of their laws in their states and how they vote and what their laws and regulations are. I will be glad to share that with anyone. And our website has lots of information, but accurate information is the best information.
Okay, well, before we go, let me get one more in here. What advice would you give the voters to help make their experience flow smoothly and help your staff have a good experience?
Just remember, we do have limited staff because our resources are small, and we have exhausted all resources on getting our election officials and our workers. There is a process. It's not a quick process. It's a 3-month process getting people and getting them trained. My advice would be come ready to state your name and your current residence address. If you have an address change, we can do that. It's very easy. But also to be patient. We would rather vote a voter accurately, fairly, and correctly than to not do that. So please be patient. The timing may take a little bit of time, but I can assure you in Craven County, all these officials have been trained. We stand by our training. I stand by my officials. If you're patient with us, we're patient with you, and we will smile with the Vaseline on our teeth and help you to the best of our abilities and make sure you are processed accurately and fairly in Craven County.
Melanie, on election night, where can we go to find the election results for Craven County?
If you have a smartphone, it's right there. It's on the web pages. We update it, and it goes to the State Board, and it updates. So if you have a smartphone, you can access it through the State Board website, ncsbe.gov, or our website. Also, we will have a viewing room here at the Board of Elections office where you vote early. We will have one. It's not a very large area, but we will have it posted on a big screen as they come in, so there as well. But anywhere you have a smartphone or a computer, you can get it that quickly as the State Board posts it. And we start 7:30 on election night.
Well, Melanie, we sure appreciate it. We appreciate all the work you do, you and your staff, and we wish you the best during this election season.
Thank you.
Okay, well, let's take a quick break here to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back with the rest of CCTA Wake Up Call in just a moment.
Anicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features handmade Italian dishes, lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine Alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. Panicelli's is easy to find. Just head to River Bend and Panicelli's will be at 40 Shoreline Drive. For authentic Italian food at an affordable price, head to Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. I hope you enjoyed the first part of our show as we talked with Director of Board of Elections in Craven County, Ms. Melanie Ray. A lot of good information there, and we enjoyed speaking with her. Afterwards, we went out on the sidewalk out in front of the polls where some of CCTA members had been working the polls during the day. And we had some very interesting discussion out there, so let's join that conversation.
Okay, downtown New Bern, North Carolina, at the Craven County Board of Elections. You know, CCTA is a nonpartisan organization, but our members have their constitutional rights and freedoms, their God-given rights and freedoms to participate in the process however they so desire. They can pick the candidates of their choice and support them however they want. So today I'm down here talking with Hal and Rainer and Bob and Mary. And Hal and Rainer, you've been here at the polls pretty much all day, every day since early voting started. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience here?
Well, I've enjoyed it a whole lot. We are talking to voters while we're here, and I've done some stints as an observer, too. It is interesting how the vast variety of levels of information that people have. Some people say, when you offer them information, I've got it, and they'll pull out something and stop and chat, and they are obviously well-informed. Others are unaware that some of the so-called down-ballot races are even up for grabs. They don't know what's going on.
So they're here primarily for the presidential.
Yeah, and I think probably the governor and lieutenant governor perhaps, but they don't know a whole lot. Some people make a beeline for information from their preferred party. And they're the ones that perhaps don't know it all and know that they don't know it all. But the ones that don't know it all and don't know or don't care are frustrating to me personally. It bugs me. But we're all citizens should be able to vote if they want to. So I'm not suggesting that they not vote if they haven't done their homework. I wish they'd do their homework.
Well, I'll say it for you. I have run into some in the past that I wish would not participate in the process.
I'd like to tell you a little bit that's just happened recently that shows the power of our CCTA activities in trying to encourage elected representatives to look out for smaller government and less taxation. I got an email quite recently from one of our board of commissioners, and I don't think his name is important, but one of them that said that he has taken a note out of our booklet, and he's going to start trying to work harder to influence the state government at a state level for smaller government and less taxation. And he's going to try to support our program for that. So, you know, I've heard somebody else say that how can you expect these officials, these representatives, to look to you for some guidance and to try to help you meet your goals at the state legislature if you don't support them during their election? And I think that's tremendous. That's very powerful. And I think the fact that we're out talking to people, going to the state legislation as often as we do, is encouraging people to use us as a conduit for that kind of activity and expect support back for it. You know, if these people are going to look out for us for smaller government and lower taxation, they expect our support, and they'll get it.
Right. Well, like I said, we're nonpartisan, but you had mentioned our mission and what CCTA is all about.
Right.
And that's what we do when we participate in the process. We look at the candidates, how do they match up with our mission statement? Mm-hmm. Smaller government, right. Lower taxes, support and defend the Constitution of the United States. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's surprising how little some of
the free enterprise system.
Right.
And personal liberty.
It's surprising how little some of the candidates actually know about any of those things, you know. Our vetting reports is a good example of that.
Yeah.
And they're online at cctaxpayers.com. Howe is chair of the vetting committee, and they sit down with the candidates. They invite all of them, and the ones that choose to participate, they're all asked the same questions. And how many have you done so far, do you know?
22, I believe. Now, don't hold me to exactly 22. It might be 21, 22. I don't know. But I'd like to point out that, yeah, I'm the chairman of that committee, but it is one big effort. We have three people sit in for each one of those interviews. That's a lot of time and a lot of effort. And we've had a lot of people participate in that. And Bob and Mary, they're sitting here. They've participated in it. Rainer, of course, has. And a lot of other people. So it is one of the big projects that CCTA now does.
I just want to say I was in on some of those interviews, and there were times in talking to the candidates where we felt that they had read our mission statement and were tailoring their answers. But the value of those vetting reports is that we have what they said on record. And if they deviate from that, we have something we can go to the candidate and say, wait a minute, this is what you told us when you interviewed us, and we have a way to hold them accountable where we might not have had that before.
And I'd like to say it's been a wonderful experience to meet as many people as we have. We have a lot of the people that are in the of state, what do we call that?
Council of State.
A lot of people that are statewide representatives and looking for statewide office interview with us, and it's an opportunity to sit down and talk to them, usually for about an hour. So I can go up and talk to a voter, a potential voter, and I can hand them the list and say, I've met most of these people, I know most of them, a little bit about them, maybe I've talked to them for as long as an hour, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. I mean, that's Republicans and Democrats.
Have you had any that absolutely refused to interview with you?
Not at absolutely refused. We sent out 57 invitations, and we got back 20-some requests to go ahead with the process. I didn't follow it up much. If they didn't show any interest in doing it, then we had our hands full doing the ones that did.
Well, Hal, Robert McAfee did decline.
That was for a good
because
reason,
because we, as individuals, nothing to do with CCTA, and our neighbors, friends of ours, gave a fundraiser for Josh Willey. So he felt that it would be biased. Glenn explained to him that there were groups of three. He did not have to be interviewed by either Hal or me on the committee that interviewed him. And I guess he just didn't want to do that either because that hasn't materialized. But he was offered that opportunity.
Right. Well, to speak to that question of bias, like I said, our members all have their own rights to exercise at any way they wish, but not as representatives of CCTA, and there are three there. But the thing that eliminates the bias is everybody's asked the same questions.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. It gives you a real okay. insight.
So it's your answer to the same question that everybody else was asked, and I fail to see how that could be biased.
And you know, we knock our socks off to be accurate. The three people who do it need to agree that this is what the person said. So there are checks and balances in that it isn't just one person doing it.
Right. And, you know, I've been with CCTA for a while now. I served as chair for 3 years. I'm a vice chair now. And all the people I've dealt with in CCTA are principled. And I don't think any of them would stoop to the level of being biased on purpose to influence any results of any kind. Matter of fact, most of them would go out of their way to make sure they're not biased and to allow any opponents to voice their opinions and be glad to just have a conversation with them. Sometimes we might win them over, sometimes they might win us over, but our big thing is we're all about freedom. Freedom of thought, freedom of choice, and the freedom to exercise your rights. And
even the right to be wrong.
The right to be wrong.
You know, going back to the election process a little bit, you know, we just interviewed Melanie and we had a great interview with her. And the subject of voter fraud came up. And I agree with her. I don't think there's a huge amount of voter fraud. But I think there are some instances of it. And one thing that does kind of bother me is the people that come in large vans and they come in the legitimate ones probably come in from nursing homes and halfway houses and things like that. I don't have any big problem with that. But there was one fella that rode in on a bicycle. And he was looking for a personal item. He said, do you know which van that we came in? And I heard him ask one of the people here with the Board of Elections. And, of course, he was told, no, we don't have any idea which van you came in. And he said, well, somebody, they came to our neighborhood and they picked us up and they brought us through and we voted. But I left something in the van and I need to get it recovered. Well, here's a man that had ridden a bicycle from his neighborhood, which is several miles from here. I know where it is. I just don't want to say it because I don't, you know, that's not really that important. But the important thing is he's physically able to vote and stand in that line. And instead, he was in one of these vans going through and voting a curbside, which is set aside for people who have handicaps. And it's great. They don't have to bear the line, the burden of all that line and everything, if it's handicapped. And I think that's exactly right. But these people are cheating when they go out to a neighborhood and pick people up and just bring them in and let them go through and tell them, you know, how to vote for the most part. Probably that's an accusation I probably shouldn't make. But
right.
You know, you do assume that there's something wrong when you know that much of it was wrong.
Well, curbside voting is abused. I've witnessed that a lot in the past. They do take advantage of it, and they really shouldn't. Well, getting back real quick to voter fraud, Hal, you have a gentleman that you met named Sam, and Sam had an experience back in 2010. Sam, would you tell us a little about that?
Well, I came in to vote, and I go up to the machine in my turn, you know, and I push the Republican button two times, and it came up Democrat both times. So I asked for assistance. I knew something was wrong. And the lady came over to help me with the machine, and she pushed the button. It came up Democrat. Again, she pushed the Republican button again, and it came up Democrat. And finally, on the fifth push, it came up Republican. And they claimed the machines had to be recalibrated. Well, the thing of it is, that looked like four votes for Democrats and one vote for Republicans because there was no evidence that they showed me that they had removed that aspect of the voting. And so when I came out, there was a gentleman there. He asked me, he said, how did things go? And I told him, I said I had a problem in their voting. So I told him exactly what I just told you. And he says, hey, will you talk to these people here? And he's pushing buttons on his cell phone. I had no idea what he was doing, you know. And then he handed me the cell phone and said, hello, Channel 12 News, how can I help you? I said, whoa, what's going on here? You know, because I really didn't know who was going to be at the other end. So I told them the story about me pushing the buttons and for the Republican Party, and it came up Democrat. Well, let me tell you, that afternoon, I'm out in the yard doing some things, and my wife says, hey, Sun Journal wants to talk to you. And I couldn't imagine things getting out, you know, that fast, you know. So I talked to her and gave her the story as to what happened, you know. And then Channel 12 News, the next day, they got a hold of it and they wanted to come out and do an interview, you know. So they came out and I talked with them and told them exactly what happened, you know. And they did a really good story on it, really neat. I really appreciated the way they did things because they incorporated my family in on it, my wife, you know. So that was good. So then that afternoon, I think it was, I'm getting calls from Channel Fox News and a lady from for the Neil Cavuto show wanted me to appear on Fox News. And the nearest station, I think at that time, was Channel 12. And you hate to say you were too busy for Neil Cavuto, but I was. But anyway, it didn't work out where I could get on his show, you know. And so Fox News called again, and this time I think was David Ashman, I think, who was on Fox News at that time, and I think he still is now. So I sent a picture in, and they talked with me that night about it, and which was very interesting. And they had me on there for probably 20 minutes, you know, going back and forth.
I'm just wondering if this was an isolated incident. I'm wondering if other people had the same problem.
Well, they did in Havelock. They were having a problem in Havelock, they had. So it wasn't a coincidence, you know. And my thing is, why can't we have voter ID? You know, the Democrats don't want you to have voter ID. And to me, they're talking down to a race of people. When they say they can't get voter IDs, let me tell you, you can get voter IDs for about anything you want today. But to me, it's down talking to people. It's talking to people like they're dumb, you know.
Well, Sam, we sure appreciate you sharing your story. I do want to point out again, though, that was in 2010. Absolutely. Now, there are accusations already and a lot of angst about the possibility of voter fraud again during this election. So we'll talk some more about that. But again, Sam, thank you for sharing with us.
I just wanted to raise the point that Raina said. That's one of the reasons we're using paper ballots now, and that some corrective action has been taken, apparently. Yeah.
I think our objective, CCTA, is that we would have fair and honest elections. We realize that not everybody in the world is going to agree with our opinions on things. But if we were able to cast ballots and able to really dialogue about positions and have fair and honest elections, I think we would all be very, very happy with having the fair and honest election and know that that's something that this country offers us.
Well, the reason I wanted to get Sam's story out there is because, some people say there is no voter fraud, that it's all made up and it's scare tactics and all that. And it may not be overwhelming amount of voter fraud, I don't know, but I am convinced there is some. because you see the news articles of some cities in the country that have 110% of their registered voters voting. You know, they have more registered voters than they have population. So there's something fraudulent about that.
Absolutely. I wanted to make the observation. I've worked as an observer some of the times since voting has been going on, and I've heard several people, most of them relatively young, complain loudly that we are using paper and not electronic gear, and we're doing that for a good reason, and I am very glad we are. I think we need some other safeguards for keeping the vote true, keeping it safe, keeping it real. I agree with everything Bob had to say on that subject. It's too important. If you have to have a photo ID to cash a check, to get medicine, to get in to see your doctor, the future of our country certainly needs to be protected by the same protections that go on there.
Right, I agree. And I'm going to say one thing, and then we're going to take a break here. During the primaries, we had voter ID.
Yes.
How many court cases have you heard about where it caused somebody not to be able to vote?
None. Zero. None.
There was no problem during the primaries having voter ID. It did speed up the process.
Oh, yeah.
It made it much simpler because I served as a judge at one of the polls, and you got a barcode scanner. You don't have to ask the question. Just take the ID and scan it, and there's all the information, name, address, and you quickly know, is the information in the database correct? Is it an address match up? It just made things so much simpler. But we're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Bite Me Firearms, crazy name for an outstanding gun shop. Bite Me Firearms carries a variety of guns. They handle transfers, have one-day on-site concealed carry training, do AR customization, and will put their gun prices against anyone within 50 miles. Bite Me Firearms, Old Cherry Point Road, New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com. As a strong advocate of Second Amendment rights, CCTA is proud to be involved with S&D Gun and Knife Shows. The next Gun and Knife Show will be at the American Legion Building in Jacksonville on Saturday and Sunday, November 5th and 6th. Buy, sell, and trade with Eastern North Carolina's best dealers and enjoy the most competitive prices in the state. Most gun enthusiasts and collectors agree S&D Gun and Knife Shows are the place to be. The next show is November 5th and 6th at the American Legion Building in Jacksonville.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, I'm on location, Craven County Board of Elections in downtown New Bern, with Hal and Rainer and Bob and Mary and our friend Sam that stopped by. Rainer, you said you mentioned young people.
Yeah.
Have you seen a lot of young people out today?
Not well, a fair number of them, yeah. Mostly the youngest appear to be late 20s, early 30s, not teens. I'm a poor judge of that, though, because everybody looks young to me.
I have seen a few parents bringing a young person who's voting for the first time and things like that,
yeah,
on a number of occasions of that. So there are some coming out.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. You know, one of the things that bothers me about this election cycle is the corruption that is so prevalent and obvious. If you're at all informed, or if you take time to be informed, there's plenty out there to collaborate and to document the corruption on both sides and from all directions. And it just seems like our society's at a point where principles and morals just aren't prevalent anymore. Mary, what do you think?
I wish that our churches would get involved in the moral issues involved in politics. Not necessarily get involved with a political party, but talk to their congregations about the moral issues on the party platforms and how religious people should look at those issues. I think the churches have forgotten their role in the government of America, because when America was founded, the churches played a major role in the American Revolution and in the Civil War. And they somehow have lost their guiding influence that was so positive for so many years.
And that's the problem that we're talking about, because if the churches were doing what they should do, and Christians were going out and voting for moral, principled leadership, we wouldn't have all this corruption in Congress and in the White House and wherever in politics. The problem is we're not putting moral people in office.
That's true.
Well, I want to report something that happened today that's going to make you feel a little better about it. I believe that Rainer and I had basically the same experience. A person walked up to me, a man, and he said, "May I have a list of what you consider conservative people who are voting in accordance to the principles, or will vote in accordance to the principles that you've espoused?" I said, I happen to have such a list, sir. He said, "Give me a stack of them. I'm a minister. I'm going to take them to my church."
Wow.
That is good news. So,
and I had a minister do exactly the same thing. So we know that two are on the job in that regard.
Yes.
Well, that is good news. I would like for any ministers out there listening, if you would like a list also, it's not a partisan list. It's a list based on principles, people that we feel like will uphold the Constitution and go along with the principles that are in our mission statement. The smaller government, lower taxes, freedom, liberty, uphold the Constitution. We'll be glad.
Free market system.
Right, free market system. We'd be glad to share information with you. We don't advocate or promote any one candidate over another, but through our vetting process, you will be able to identify those that are principled along with our standards anyway. And those are available on cctaxpayers.com. So please take time to visit that and look at the vetting reports. Sam, before we go, do you have anything else you'd like to say?
Yes, I would like to make a plea to the Christian people. And I would like to see them come out and get active in voting, because they have a job to do. This is the United States of America, and we're going to lose that freedom of the pulpit if we don't get out there and get these people voting. And it's our duty as Christian people. Christian people, every time you ask them to do something, we're nursing home workers, they say, "We'll pray about it." You know, pray about it is great. There's nothing greater than prayer. But there's action. If you don't have the action behind your prayer, if you're not willing to do something other than pray, then I don't think it's going to be very beneficial. So if people would get out, Christian people, we could put anybody in office we wanted to.
Absolutely. And Sam, that's a very important point, that if we don't exercise that freedom, we'll lose that freedom. Okay. All right. That's all the time we have for today's show. We hope you'll come back and join us again next Sunday. In the meantime, visit cctaxpayers.com to find out more about Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association.
It's time now for a word from our sponsors. We urge you to support them with your business and thank them for bringing you CCTA Wake Up Call. We appreciate our sponsors, large and small, because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring you this program. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutrition Consultant. Also, Panicelli's Pizzeria, a family-oriented pizzeria in River Bend. Bite Me Firearms on Old Cherry Point Road in New Bern. And thanks to Sherwood Caraway, S&D Gun and Knife Shows is also a longtime sponsor. Another great supporter is RightWingGranny.com, with a unique perspective on the news. That's RightWingGranny.com. B&J Seafood, specializing in fresh-caught North Carolina seafood on Highway 70 East in New Bern, and the County Compass, with thorough and honest news coverage, distributed free and serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties. Please stop by and support our sponsors. Visit cctaxpayers.com for more information about Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association.